Go ahead and get started, and it's my pleasure to introduce our speaker for this evening. He just happens to be my brother-in-law. Randy Skinner graduated from Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary, and he holds an MDiv degree from there. He lives in Atlanta, Georgia, and it's he'll tell you a lot of information, but it's of some interest to note that some of the largest and most prominent occultic activity takes place in Atlanta, Georgia. And Randy has established a national task force that deals with occultic crimes, and Randy's main focus, I think, is to work through the legal system, and he has done a good deal of networking with judges, attorneys, law enforcement, and in an effort to bring about our awareness of the problems that exist in occultic activity. I think the first response that we have oftentimes as Christians is to not want to hear this kind of information, but I think if nothing else, it can help us gain an awareness of the activity, and also we can learn how to deal with this in a very practical way. You might want to ask, what can I do as an individual? One thing that you can do, and you'll have an opportunity tonight, you can pray for Randy and his task force, and you would also have an opportunity to support him financially. So there are things that we can do as individuals, and I'm going to give it to Randy now and give him the opportunity to share with us about his work.
Thank you, Dr. Reed. Why don't we begin with a word of prayer, and then we'll get started. Father, we come in the name of the Lord Jesus, Father, and we say that name with reverence and respect and awe, that you as a Father God would allow us to have a relationship with your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, I just plead the blood of Jesus, that precious blood that was shed nearly 2,000 years ago. Father, I plead the blood of Jesus over this room, over every person that's here, Father, and ask that we would hear what you would have to share with us today, that we may be alert and valiant warriors for what you've called us to do. And I ask that in Jesus Christ's name. My name is Randy H. Skinner. I'm the director of the National Criminal Justice Task Force on Organized Occult Crime and Gang Violence. In 1989, about 25 law enforcement agencies, federal, state, and local, came together in Atlanta, and out of that grew a statewide task force. By the end of the first year, we were receiving so many requests for assistance that we started a national task force, and our goal is to raise up the largest law enforcement organization in the nation, in which we are choosing a law enforcement representative out of every jurisdiction throughout the United States for the purpose of educating fellow law enforcement on the occult, educating the community on the occult, the psychiatric and medical community, as well as the pastoral, and also to influence Congress and influence state legislators and influence the media, because there's such a barrage of information that's coming out that's attacking the public today concerning the occult. One thing that I want you to keep in mind as you're here is it's a real honor to be here with you, and that you and I were created for this day and hour. We don't live in the 1600s. We don't live in the 1700s. We are probably, some historians say that because of the way prophecy is being fulfilled, that we may be the generation that sees the second coming of Jesus Christ. In any respect, we are probably going to see in the next decade one of the greatest assaults that has been known in mankind by occultists upon society. And if you knew what I knew, you'd probably go home and lock your doors, and then you would hide with a gun in your house, because there's so much that is happening across the United States. And I believe that that is in tune to that the enemy knows that the hour is near. And so he is escalating his attack and his agenda on the young people, the children, and the adults of our society today. And to me, it's exciting. Most of the officers that I work with, I mean, we're on the cutting line of being out there in the forefront of actual occultic violent criminal activity, and working serial crimes and working every type of crime that you can imagine. But we're excited because we believe that this is the hour in which God has created us to live. And to us, that's exciting because we believe that we're going to see the second coming of Christ. And whether we do or not, God has created us to live in this hour in which the enemy is really attacking the church. And it's exciting because God has called each and every one of you to the ministry and this pivotal hour of history. And to me, that is an awesome, awesome sign from God of how much he, you know, just the enormous it just overwhelms me that he would pick you out, or pick me out, and use us in the ministry in this day or hour. Deuteronomy chapter 18, 9 through 14 says, "When you come into the land which the Lord has given you, you shall not learn to do after the abomination of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone that makes his son or daughter to become a human sacrifice, to pass through the fire, or that uses witchcraft or fortune-telling, or an observer of the times, or an enchanter that casts spells or interprets omens, or a witch, or a charmer or consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or someone that speaks with the dead. For all who do these things are an abomination unto the Lord." We're living in a society in which we are seeing an increase in occult crimes like never before. We're seeing that this has spread to the Italian-Sicilian crime families. That's important because the crime, organized crime families in the United States used to respect the women and the children, and now they have bought into the belief system, in which I'll be explaining in a moment, of a belief system that is permeating even the crime families, where they no longer respect the children and their wives, and they have bought into using human sacrifice as ways of protecting their drug shipments and the other criminal activity that they're involved in. Academic researchers believe that we're probably seeing 100 million Americans today that are involved in the occult in the United States alone, from the area of the fringe level, from fortune telling to palmistry to tarot card reading, all the way to the militant groups of which I work with. And so we're seeing a huge increase of the interest in the occult. University of Chicago polls and other polls we have show that 42% of Americans today have stated that they have communicated with someone from the dead. And that's an astounding number. Last year alone, there were over $400 million that was spent on occult-related seminars, people going to occult-related seminars seeking an interest in the occult, $400 million. And also, last Halloween, there was over $400 million spent on Halloween alone. Mm-hmm. Halloween is the third most popular adult holiday in the United States. And the last year that we have a record in 1990, 43 movies were made with occult-related themes. That means that there was 16% of the movies that came out of Hollywood were occult or had a New Age theme. But every 100 years, we see a revival of the occult. The difference is that every 40 to 50 years, we would see a spiritual revival that would push back the revival of the occult. What the difference is we have not had a spiritual revival in America in over the last 120 years. And the other thing that makes it such a difference is that this is the first generation with complete media exposure. It's the first generation with the loss of family structure as we know it. It's the first generation without a maturing process. Kids grow up too fast, too soon. It's the first generation in which youth see no potential future. And so we're seeing just a wave of young people today that are committing suicide and that are going into aberrant behavior and other areas of social crimes and misbehavior. It's the first generation in which there is no moral cohesion. And it's the first generation in which youth have little or no ability to cope. In the book of Matthew, it speaks about a day and a time when brother will rise up against brother, and children will rise up against their parents, and parents will rise up against their own children and put them to death. And we're seeing that in our society today. A couple of years ago, I got a call from an uncle out of Texas that was concerned about his nephew and his niece who lived in the state of Missouri. I work in about 25 states and in the provinces of Canada. And what had happened was this... man had bought, his name is John Herbert, John bought some land along with a relative of his, and after about 6 months, his relative came up to him and stated, "John," he said, "I want all the land for myself. I want you to sell it to me for a dollar." Well, John said, "No, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to keep the land that I bought for myself." A few months later, John would be driving up into his driveway, and all of a sudden there would be these images, like out of Star Wars, that would just materialize people. Of having sexual acts with animals or men in camouflage suits. This went on for just a period of months where John would be sitting in his house and in the kitchen, three men would just appear. He would have families over. This was occurring in other families. Another family in the community had just buried their father. And somehow, about 2 days after the father had passed away, the family were sitting in the living room, and all of a sudden the father appears there in the chair. And what had happened his family was literally, this community was being terrorized by these group of occultists. And so one day he saw some men running with a satellite dish. He chased them down. He assaulted them. They then in turn went to the sheriff's department. They had John Herbert arrested. had a warrant taken out and had him committed to the state psychiatric hospital for seeing these things. So here was a good old fellow, blue-collar, hard-working man. He was not involved in the church. He had no affiliation with the occult whatsoever, and now he is sitting in the psychiatric hospital, drugged up. He's about to lose his job. Family Services has called. They're going to take away his 9-year-old son, Chase, and it doesn't look good for him. And what had happened was the reason they wanted the land was because it was an old Indian burial ground was on this land. And to the occultists, that's very important because they believe that there's a power source there. And so because John wouldn't give up the land, they harassed him and they terrorized his family and they framed him. And here he was sitting in the state psychiatric hospital. And that's when I got involved. Then we educated Family Services where the little son, Chase, was not... they were able to keep their son. We educated the prosecuting attorneys in the case, the defense, and we educated the community and law enforcement as to what was occurring. But this is an example of where a brother raised up his hand against his brother. And we're seeing that across the nation where people are being targeted. I had one man in Texas that ought to have had over $200,000 just zipped out of his bank account, and there was nothing he could do about it. A lady in Georgia had over $230,000 taken from her bank account, and there was nothing that she could do because the occultists were infiltrated in the society and in the legal system in that county to where there was nothing that could be done. And that's where we come in, and we try to help the victims and to educate law enforcement, the judicial system, as to what's occurring in the church, where we're going to be talking about what is your responsibility as a minister and what you can do as the spiritual leader, because that's where the answer is. We come in when the church fails. When the church fails to do what they've been called to do, to push back the enemy and the occult, that's when we and law enforcement have to come up and pick up the pieces. And the end result is what you see in Hillsboro, where here's a man that's involved in white supremacist movement and who knows what else, and he's hacked up two people. And that's not uncommon. We have other cases across the United States where I just saw the news tonight where a grave was robbed. And I'll be explaining some of that in a moment. But the Bible says in Psalms 54:3 that violent men have risen against me, ruthless men who care nothing for God are seeking my life. We see a threat to the church. I'm going to talk about different threats. The first threat we see is to the church. In these manuals, there are some stories about how churches were targeted. I've got some inner office memos of pastors of churches that their churches were targeted. The occultists went into the church and desecrated the church. In Montgomery, Alabama recently, a few months ago, there was a pastor who won two witches to the Lord. When they were to be baptized, the coven they had come out of had come into the church dressed as normal visitors. And then when the time came to baptize them, they disrupted the church service. The pastor with the deacons ushered the women out of the church. They then called law enforcement, and law enforcement came and arrested the pastor. And that's a prime example of injustice and where the enemy has infiltrated law enforcement. We have a lady that's a sergeant in one of our counties in the state of Georgia. She's a lesbian high priestess of a Wiccan group. She heads up the occult crimes in that jurisdiction, which is ludicrous. We have another lieutenant that's a lesbian high priestess of another jurisdiction. There's a pagan network. That's the network of pagans that have infiltrated the law enforcement system across the United States, federal, state, and local. And what they're doing is they are discrediting anyone that comes out and speaks out against the occult. The main man that's in charge of the Behavioral Science Division of the Federal Bureau of Investigation, Dr. Ken Lanning, wrote his doctoral dissertation on why there is no occult crime in the United States. And he spends his time traveling across the nation discrediting anyone that's involved in any form or shape and trying to put an end to the occult. He has a part of a manuscript that's targeted toward law enforcement has come out dealing with occult crimes, and which he has a part in writing. And they list about 40 to 50 organizations in this book that says do not contact these organizations for any references concerning the occult. He lists in that any law enforcement that takes a stand against the occult. He lists every type of ministry that's well known against the occult. And then they list about 5 or 10 organizations to contact if you have a problem in occult-related crimes. And who would they might happen to be? The Church of Satan, Wiccan groups, and himself. And that shows you some of the problems that we're facing. Alcohol, tobacco, farm, federal agents, of which we work with, or Border Patrol agents, or state or local law enforcement, you don't have to pretty much convince them that there's a problem in our nation. They see that. The The FBI works mainly with white collar crimes, but those of us in the federal levels and the other federal jurisdictions and state and local, we see the result. But what is the threat to the church? Listen to this verse, and it's interesting. Psalm 74:3 says, "Walk through the awful ruins of the city and see what the enemy has done to your sanctuary. Everything lies in shambles, like a forest chopped to the ground. They smashed and chopped the carved paneling and set the sanctuary on fire and said, 'Let's wipe out every trace of God.'" Interesting enough, over 50 churches in Florida over the last few months alone were burned or had some part of their structure that was destroyed. Recently, there was a pastor not long ago who had a daughter. He was a pastor of an evangelical church. If you're a pastor of an evangelical church, you can be assured that you're going to be targeted in some form or fashion by the occultists, whether it's Satanist or whether it's Wiccan groups or some form of the occult is probably going to target your church. And this pastor had started 5 evangelical churches in the city of Atlanta. His daughter started dating a young man that was blonde hair, blue eyes, good-looking guy, Olympic athlete, contender. And he courted this pastor's daughter for about a year and a half. They then got married. After about a year and a half of marriage, they had a beautiful little blonde hair, blue-eyed little girl. And about the age of 2 years of age, she started exhibiting ritualistic behavior, which I'll touch on in a moment. The wife then discovered that her husband was a satanic high priest. He had purposed to marry into this pastor's church for the sole purpose of destroying the man's ministry and using the children for the satanic purposes. She left. She's now in hiding with her little daughter because what we're finding and we're having problems with is I'll show you the pictures of 2 little kids I'm working with now where we have the sexual abuse charges. We've got the sexual abuse evidence, ritualistic abuse evidence. And we take it to the court system, but the judge will rule that the perpetrator still has visitation rights. And we're seeing that across the country. And in many cases, of course, the judge is not involved. But but in some cases, you wonder, because in this case, the judge sat up there, and when the mother was there with other women from her church, he berated her and said, "These women in your church aren't going to make any difference. You know, they could pray all they want to, but they're not going to make a difference in my decision." And we're seeing that happen. But probably even more of what we're seeing is where the enemy goes into the courtroom and they are praying with their powers and their whatever else they do and their incantations and their spells. And the judge is completely blinded to the truth. And that's where we as Christians must be in the courtrooms, and we must be praying for our judges and having Christians as sheriffs and judges and the school boards, because we're seeing an assault like never before. And so there is a threat to the church. We have one church in Atlanta, and this is, I'm using Atlanta as an example, but I get calls from other jurisdictions across the United States where 5 family members, occultists, joined a church, and they're involved in the church activities, and they are in the occult. And there's been a grand jury investigation on one of the members. Everything that I share with you tonight is documented evidence by law enforcement officials and psychiatric workers. That's one of the purposes of our organization, is to try to document what we're seeing across the nation to alert the church. And then we see the threat to the children. It says in Psalms 106:37, they even sacrificed their little children to the demons, shedding innocent blood and polluting the land with murder. There's a 7-year-old little boy that I'm working with now, and a 9-year-old little girl, among others, that the state of Maine, they went and the children were sexually abused, they were ritualistically abused. The state of Maine ruled that the father, who is the violator, who is alleged to be in Satanism, still had a right to visit the children. When it came around December for the mother to give the children back to the father to a 2-week visitation period, she received word that the children were going to be re-abused. She fled with the children to the state of Florida. The state of Florida examined the children, and they entered in evidence on her behalf, sent a representative to the state of Maine saying that we feel like that these children should be protected. The state of Maine disregarded the evidence. She then fled to another state, in which we are trying to get that state to set up a haven of safety for her, where that court will rule that they will not allow the state of Maine to take these children. And it's kind of like in the biblical times when Jesus had to be protected to Moses. But look what happens. You know, you think of a wanted poster as for someone that should be, the husband should be here. But this is a wanted poster for the wife that is on the run with her 2 small children. And these are her 2 small children. And that's Lindy, and that's Carl. And uh, when Carl's mother fixes food for him, many times he can't even eat because, see, Carl has seen human sacrifice and he's been forced to eat human flesh. And when she'll make hamburger meat or make spaghetti, Carl will sit there and he'll get sick and he'll vomit because of what he's been to. When she takes him to the circus or the zoo, because he has been violated and raped by adult perpetrators wearing costumes of Mickey Mouse or Big Bird or other animals that you see in Disney characters, he loses it because of the violation that has occurred. And we are working. There is now, the psychiatric community says that there are 90% of cases that they are working with where there is multiple personality disorder. And you see, in a moment, I'll be going more into that. But they believe that 20% of the 90% of these cases are satanic ritual abuse cases. So there is a threat to the children. And then there's a threat to the teenagers. We are seeing a 70 or 68% increase in violence among teenagers today. And you can just look at the paper where 20 to 30% of the children today, they take weapons to school. And there's case after case that I could talk about. Parents in Nevada who had to send their 14-year-old son to Mississippi because they threatened to kill their parents. I've sat across fathers who have talked about their 15 and 16-year-olds weeping because they've lost their children because they've been involved in the occult and now they're threatening to kill their own parents and they've had to come in on the psychiatric institute. What is the beginning of the involvement by teenagers in the occult? Well, one of the ways that teenagers are involved is, first of all, it's called the fringe level. That's the beginning level of those that are involved in the occult. And it might interest you to note that many of the people that are attracted to the occult among teenagers, I want you to listen to identifying some of the children. They can have low self-esteem. They may be physically awkward. They don't seem to fit in. They could be non-competitive, gender confusing. They view videotapes excessively. They could be involved in drugs or sexual activity. But then many of the children today that we see that are arrested for the violent crimes that are related to the occult, they're just the opposite. They're highly intelligent. They are Eagle Scouts. They are all-star athletes in their high schools. And so many of some of the brightest and best students are being targeted by the occult. I recently spoke to a young man last week from your state that talked about the governor's program here in this state. The highly gifted students, when they came together last time, most of the students were involved in Dungeons and Dragons, which is a fantasy role-playing game in which introduces many people across the United States into the occult. But the fringe level is the beginning level. And many of the young people today begin by starting out with the Ouija board. That's a big thing that we see. Many people are drawn to the occult by the Ouija board. Dungeons and Dragons, we have hundreds of cases of where documented cases that have been led back to kids that have been involved in fantasy role-playing games, specifically Dungeons and Dragons, and they ended up committing suicide. They lost the difference between reality and fantasy. Palmistry, having your fortune told, watching horror videos or movies. Recently in Alabama, a 17-year-old was inundated his mind with videos, and he went down to the local graveyard and he dug up a man that had just been buried and he cut off his head and he took it home with him. And listening to heavy metal music or black metal music. And just to give you the lyrics of one group, and this is why they inundate their mind with it and they act it out. And see, there's a belief system that is in the lyrics of this music. One heavy metal group, Megadeth, for example, says, "Good morning, Black Friday," sings, "Killer, intruder, homicidal man, if you see me coming, run as fast as you can. A bloodthirsty demon who's stalking the street, I hack up my victims like pieces of meat." Interestingly enough, most of the violent crimes we work in the dabbler level that is committed by teenagers today, they mutilate the victim. They don't just kill the victim with one gunshot or a stab wound. They hack the victim and they mutilate it. Thomas Sullivan was 14 years of age. He was involved in Dungeons and Dragons. He was into heavy metal, black metal music, inundating his mind with it. He went out and stabbed his mother 37 times, slashing her, gouging her face. He then tried to set his house on fire, kill his brother, his father, and then he slashed his own wrists and he almost practically decapitated his own head. And so much of the young people today that are in prison, 78% of the young people today that are in the psychiatric hospitals, and this has been attributed back to the black metal and heavy metal music. That was their number one choice of music. And in most of the violent crimes that we work, the children have a copy of the Satanic Bible, or they'll have a copy of the Satanic Rituals, And they most definitely always have the heavy metal, black metal music that they've inundated themselves with. That's the fringe level. The next level is called the dabbler level. And that's where the young people have started to believe the belief system of the occult, and they bought into it. And that's why it's so important as Christians that our churches, that we are living out, that we are fleshing out the power of Jesus Christ. I work with victims that probably are half non-church people, and the other has some affiliation with the church. But the greatest reason that the young people today and the adults today go to the occult is because they see power. They're introduced with drugs, sexual activity, free alcohol, and they see power. They see changes. They see actual demonic power, and they can control controlling power that they can see actual manifestations. Because and most of them come out of liturgical dead churches where there is no life and there is no power. It is very rare. I probably only worked one or two cases of where young people have come out of evangelical churches where, I mean, there was really the Spirit of God moving. It's just very rare to find young people that come out of those churches. And but the dabbler is where they are starting to believe the belief system of the occult. And so there's a whole belief system why they choose silver jewelry instead of gold, because gold is representative of Christians. They wear black because that's, of course, representative of evil. And they will part their hair to the left, or they may roll up their sleeves on the left side in their schools, which is a symbol of the left side, which is representative of Satan. They'll wear pale jewelry, and they'll drink blood. I've had three cases of where dentists have called me, of where students have come in and asked and requested that their teeth be sharpened in veins. And they consume human and animal blood. That's a part of their belief system, that when you consume the blood, you're acquiring an energy and you're acquiring a power source within your body, which will make you able to affect your rituals in a better way. That's why when you find a cattle or a horse that has been dismembered and the blood has been drained out, they use that blood to baptize the individuals into an initiation ceremony, and then they consume the blood. That's why when a human sacrifice occurs, they will drain the victim of the blood, and they will drink the blood because they believe that they are acquiring the energy source of that person, as well as eat a part of the flesh of the victim, because they believe, as the old cannibals believe, that you are actually acquiring a part of that person's spirit. Many of the young people today, if you are involved in counseling with teenagers, or you have parents that come to you that are concerned about their teenage children or their adolescent children, because we have cases of elementary students more than ever before that are involved in the occult, you need to know the warning signs. There's about 36 or 40, actually here there's probably about 60 warning signs that you need to know about that will tell whether the kids are involved. The kids will keep a book that's called the Book of Shadows, and that's a book where they keep all the list of their activities in. And most parents just look at the book and it's a spiral notebook and they don't think anything about it. But after we go into a crime scene or a kid has been committed to the psychiatric hospital, we can go into the room of the child and we can show the parent, just looking through their notebook, how they keep a list of their meetings. And in one case, a girl, she had her Book of Shadows, and some of them are very, very nicely done books, but she had an Utmost for His Highest cover over her Book of Shadows. So her mother, when she came into her room, thought she was reading Oswald Chambers, but she was reading her Satanic Bible, or her Satanic Book of Shadows. And so that's one of the things that parents need to look for. As a room changes, so changes the child. And that's and it's amazing how many cases you'll go into where young people today, their room is changing, and their parents don't even recognize the change. Parents need to know the occult holidays. You need to know the occult holidays, because that's when the young people are going to be out observing these holidays. The third Thursday of every month is an occult holiday. Full moon is a holiday. And then they have 5 or 6 days, sometimes a month, that are occult-related holidays. Those are the days as Christians we need to be praying. You need to be praying against the principalities, the powers, and ruling spirits that are ruling in your city on those dates, because that's when the enemy and their people are out there and they're having their communion and they're doing their thing. And that's some of the things involved with the dabbler level. The third level is called the religious level. You have a copy of that, or you should have picked up a copy on the way in. And I want to briefly go over the religious level and just tell you what we're seeing across the nation concerning them. The first, at the top of your sheet, is called the Church of Satan. And that was founded in 1966 by Anton LaVey. You might be familiar with that. Probably the biggest influence of the Church of Satan is in the Satanic Bible and the Satanic rituals. I can go into any mall in the United States, probably with the dress I have on, and I can walk in and I can come out fully dressed in Satanic paraphernalia. I can go in and buy the black clothes. I can go in and get my hair dyed jet black. I can get the pale makeup. I can go in and I can get the jewelry, occultic jewelry, and I can wear it and I can come out fully dressed in occult paraphernalia. You'll see some funerals where you may see a young person that has been involved in the occult, and a group of his friends will show up. We're seeing this more and more. They're all dressed in black. They'll bring black roses and they're wearing pale makeup. But the Church of Satan's biggest influence is in their literature. And that's why we as Christians and we as a group hope to someday soon to start going to the larger bookstores and stating that we oppose the selling of these books and then give them the statistical information of why. And that's why we as Christians, you need to be going in and praying over those bookstores. So the next group is called the Temple of Set, and that's an offshoot of the Church of Satan. The Temple of Set is involved in a lot of the Third Reich belief system of Hitler. Hitler was into Satanism. He had a temple within his structure of which they committed human sacrifices. The SS were satanic high priests. All this, the Nazi emblems that you see are old satanic symbols that Hitler adopted. But the Temple of Set is a more intellectual academia of Satanists that follow Satanism. And they follow really the ancient belief, Egyptian belief system of Set. Their group and their influence is found mostly on military bases. The other group is called the Process Church of the Final Judgment. Charles Manson was linked to this group. This group believes that Jesus Christ and Satan were brothers, and that anything that you do in the name of Satan, you're actually doing in the name of Jesus Christ. They're a very militant group. They've been tied to a number of other homicides across the United States. There are some that allege that Charles Manson was not the ruler of his group. There was really another man that oversaw what he was doing. This man was never exposed. He was also tied to the Son of Sam killings in New York. And he was also tied to a young lady, a young bride that was a Christian, who previously, 2 days earlier, had been witnessing to some Satanists. Her body was found crucified inside of the church, the chapel on her college campus. They believe that this same man is still in operation in the United States. The next group is called the Ordo Templi Orientis, the OTO, founded by Aleister Crowley. This is one of the larger movements across the United States today. They're active in most U.S. cities across the United States and in smaller towns. And I'm going to depart from them here and make a separation because they are pursuing litigation against those that state that they are involved in criminal activity. So I will say that the followers of Aleister Crowley have been found and attributed it to many violent criminal activities in other localities across the United States. The five Gainesville students that were recently killed in Florida from Florida State University, that was an occult killing. There was a philosophy behind the way in which those young people were chosen and killed. We're seeing that more and more across the United States. The last group is called Santeria, Palo Mayombe, and Aztec Mayan. These are really separate belief philosophies, but I've joined them together. Santeria these came from Central America and Africa, these belief systems. The Santerias adopted a lot of their belief system from the Caribbeans, and they adopted it with the Catholic religions. And so you'll see a mixture of the Catholic religion mixed with some occultism. And the Palo Mayombe, incidentally, there's like 36,000 followers of Santeria in just one city out of Florida. It's something like 60,000 followers in New York City alone. And so if you are ever ministering into the Hispanic community, you're going to see a lot of belief system in that. The other is Palo Mayombe, which is the darker side of Santeria. And how we really became to know about Palo Mayombe was in 1989. Was a young college student, pre-med student from the University of Texas, was down in spring break in Padre Island, and he went across the border with a group of his friends, and he was kidnapped, and he was sacrificed along with, there was 14 other individuals that had been sacrificed prior to him, and the purpose for choosing him was because he was Anglo, he was white, That was the ultimate sacrifice. And the drug cartels in Mexico, what they're doing is they will kidnap a victim. We're finding now bodies in Florida, in California, in Texas, that are being cut open, individuals that are being abducted and sacrificed. And they will sacrifice an individual before they send out their drug shipment, because they believe that this will appease the gods and protect their drug shipment from going out. They not only sacrifice the individual, but they torture the individual. One of the individuals of the 15 that were found in this case one of them was skinned alive and one of them was boiled alive. And because the more you torture the victim, they believe, then the more of the spirit of the person you're acquiring. And so that is part of the belief system. That's why you see the young people, they start out torturing animals and skinning the animals, because that's part of their belief system also. Recently, last November in southern Mexico, 40 individuals were found in an ancient Aztec Mayan sacrifice. And in El Paso, Texas, the 1 week prior last to Halloween, 12 small children, according to investigators, outside of El Paso on the border disappeared 1 week before Halloween. So we're seeing a resurgence of the Aztec Mayan belief system. The ancient Aztec Mayans sacrificed 50,000 people a year in Mexico and Central America. And that belief system now is coming back. And we're seeing a resurgence in Texas and some of the border states. And then you'll find it like in Jeffrey Dahmer. Jeffrey Dahmer said, "I'm an Aztec." Yeah, his belief system was an occultic belief system. And he was involved in the occult, according to investigators that I know that worked on his case. I'm going to take a moment and I'm going to play a tape of a young man that confessed to killing his parents. He was 16 years of age. I want you to listen. We handle, there's a lot of different ministries out there that are on the forefront of occult crimes. You probably have heard of Bob Larson's ministry. We handle probably a great deal of their criminal cases. 90% of their cases, which we have found to be valid cases, probably 10% are people that are looking for attention or just making up the story, looking for attention. About 90% of the cases we work for Bob Larson Ministries have been valid criminal cases. And this is a tape from his program, and I want you to listen. Out of the other ministries, out of about five ministries, there's probably about 50,000 requests for assistance a year by individuals that are victimized by the occult. So that just gives you an indicator of the problem.
Individual called up the spirits and you went to sleep.
Called up the spirits, fascinated my body as usual, and then I went to sleep. I've been extremely angry with my parents over some incidents with a girlfriend and over some other problems. You know, they're probably basic teenage problems. And I began having a dream where I killed my parents. I was very angry with them, very upset with them, and I wanted to be out of their lives, and I wanted them out of my life, and so I began having this dream after doing destruction rituals on them that I'd kill them. And then one that night, it seems like when I woke up, it was no longer a dream. It had really happened.
How did you kill them?
Walked into their bedroom, and I had their gun. I still am not real clear as to how I got the gun. There are a lot of things that night that I don't remember. But I walked into their bedroom while they were asleep, and I shot them both in the head. Then I left the bedroom, and a little bit later I came back, and I turned the light on. I stood in front of my mother, and I watched the blood pour out of her onto the bed, and I laughed. I giggled and laughed and felt like a big rock had been lifted off my shoulders, like this burden was finally free from me.
That's an example of what we're seeing across the United States that's more common and more frequent. And as counselors and as ministers, you're going to be inundated, I believe, in the next 10 years by parents that are coming to you with the symbols and the signs of their children involved and dabbling with the occult. And I had a mother that called me from the state of Alabama, and I mean, the indicators were so obvious that she was having serious, serious problems with her son, and he was probably going to be involved in violent criminal activity. And the local pastor that in the community just disregarded all the signs, and it really showed that he had no knowledge whatsoever of what she was dealing with. And we're seeing such, case after case of where teenagers, even 13 and 14 years of age, are attacking their siblings, they're attacking schoolmates, they're attacking their families. I'm working with children that are small children that are threatening their parents. And so it's a thing that you need to take seriously, and you need to educate yourself as to what to do concerning that. When I work with individuals in a counseling experience, I pull together, usually when we get a victim, I pull together a team. I have a police officer, I have somebody from the medical community or the psychiatric community, I have somebody that's a heavy intercessor, I have somebody that's involved in deliverance ministry that deals with people that are demonized. And as a team, we come together and we validate the story to see whether this person is actually a valid victim or is actually involved. And then you need that. You need that support group in ministering to those individuals, because you can't do it alone. And you can be sure that once you begin to start ministering to people that are coming out of the occult, you're going to be attacked. Every time that we get a new victim that's coming out of the occult, I mean, it's like a heavy wave of oppression comes against me and comes against the officers that are involved. That's why we try to, the material that we are trying to produce and put out is material that will educate you, but it's not material that will suck you in and lead you into the occult. And that's why I would ask that that you be very, very careful. For example, because we're law enforcement and we have to research the criminal behavior and understand the crime scene and why the group did what they did, we have to read and research occult-related materials. But we do not, when we do that, we sit down and we plead the blood of Jesus. We do it with much fear and trembling and prayer. And then we place those books and into another warehouse, into another locality. We won't bring them into our homes, because the people that write this literature, they've cursed it. And any time that you bring yourself into researching or writing or listening to anything that is occult related, you've opened yourself up. You've opened up your spirit man, your soul man, to being invaded by those demonic spirits. And I mean, I cannot stress to you how important it is that you be very, very careful in what you do. I used to have a copy of the Satanic Bible, but I don't any longer, because I already know the key things that are out of it. And there's too many good resources out there today that you can go to, and you can learn about what you need to learn without going to the source. Because the enemy is, you're opening yourself up for attack. And that's just, it's unnecessary. You're going to be under attack as it is, as ministers of the gospel. And the final level I want to go into is dealing with the children. And it's amazing what we're seeing across the United States with small children that are coming out with just horrendous stories of what is happening to them, alleging occult-related ritualistic abuse. And to show you the problem that we're having, there are about 16,000 law enforcement agencies in America today, but there is no system within the federal branches of our government or state or local that monitors the abuse from law enforcement of how many children are being abused, how many